When I told my grandfather he was dying, translating the doctor's prognosis from English into sign language, he smiled and shrugged his shoulders. "I've had a good, long life," he said. With my hands, I explained that he was in multiple organ failure after a cardiac arrest and that he'd been unconscious for several days. His condition was critical. Grandpa nodded, moving his gaze between me and the white-haired physician standing at his bedside. Once we were left alone, Grandpa took hold of my fingers and squeezed them tight. His face was calm, steady. It made sense that I'd be the one to deliver this news. Having studied Auslan, Australian Sign Language, for a few years beforehand, my signing skills were the most developed, and with the exception of Nanny, Grandpa understood me best. My mum and Uncle Ray were drained both physically and emotionally after months of keeping vigil in various hospitals and eventually a nursing home. And my grandmother, being deaf too, couldn't have interpreted for him if she'd wanted to. Grandpa had been sick for many years. His chronic emphysema meant he was often carted in and out of emergency departments. Before his final stay in hospital, he could barely walk, and we pushed him around in a wheelchair Mum bought on eBay. On New Year's Day, Grandpa woke up unable to breathe, and an ambulance was sent. He was monitored for heart troubles that weren't improving. We had 5 months with him after that. He never returned home. In that last stretch, my family shared the load, organising between us that someone be present whenever possible to ensure that Grandpa had an advocate. Often, hospital staff had no clue how to interact with him, despite the communication tips my mother plastered on the walls of each institution. "Melvin Hunt is deaf," her handwritten signs read. "He cannot hear you even if you shout." We grew tired of reminding people to get his attention before speaking, to look at him, or to use the pens and pads of paper we'd left so that he could understand and respond. The combination of age and language barriers meant that his care was often compromised. Though Grandpa had excellent English, medical personnel could rarely understand his voice, and he struggled to follow the rapid-fire movements of their lips. One night, early in his hospital stay, he had 2 blood transfusions without knowing what was going on. By the time I arrived in the morning, he was wild with panic, vomiting blood and begging for answers. Nobody had explained what was wrong or why he'd needed the transfusions. He could only watch and wonder. Having failed rehab by late March, he was sent to an aged care facility, and in late April he was rushed back to emergency. His death didn't blindside us. It was neither sudden nor unexpected. We had another 3.5 weeks with Grandpa after the heart attack, some of which he was lucid and even joked with the nurses in the ward. All of us, Nanny, my parents, my siblings, my cousins, Uncle Ray and Auntie Ruth, watched on as he slipped in and out of consciousness, waking for occasional sips of lemonade and beer that we'd snuck onto the premises. Those familiar with deaf culture talk about the phenomenon of the long deaf goodbye, where the ritual of farewelling one another tends to stretch on and on, far longer than in hearing interactions. Grandpa was unhurried in saying goodbye to his family. I like to think he was holding on to us just that little bit longer, savouring those last embraces and tidbits of conversation. It has taken me many attempts to say goodbye. To me, the process feels eternal, bottomless and unrelenting. Grief, as Joan Didion writes, has no distance. Grief comes in waves, paroxysms, sudden apprehensions that weaken the knees and blind the eyes and obliterate the dailiness of life. 3 years have passed since Grandpa died, and it has taken many such paroxysms to make any sense of the loss. There is no instrument to measure the mark a person leaves, no salve to remedy the ache. My grandfather's life was both ordinary and extraordinary. His deafness was so exquisitely misunderstood that every part of me felt summoned to translate.